What's going on? This is Hoppy Hour. I am your host, Ryan Hoppy. And from the Covino and Rich Show, which you can hear on Patreon, Covino is on the show. What's going on, bro?
Yo, Ryan. Thanks for having me, man. Excited to be here. What's up?
Nothing much, dude. I interviewed Rich like 7 weeks ago, and I said the same thing to him that I'll say to you. I love how when you guys got let go by SiriusXM, a lot of shows sort of you don't see them for like 6 to 8 months when they've been let go from Sirius. But I love how you guys were back on the grind and joined Patreon that Monday. You guys were back at it.
Yeah, it's fight or flight, right? What are you going to do? Back against the wall. You got to come out fighting, come out swinging. And look, I got to be thankful that SiriusXM even gave me a platform to have an audience to immediately turn to, right? Have a listener base where we had the opportunity to even do that and jump on Patreon and keep it moving. We didn't want to lose any momentum or take a day off, right? To have people forget about you because people move quick and we didn't want to be replaced and we wanted to get out there and start building immediately because it was a shock to everybody. It was a shock to us, you know, but the industry's changing and we realized, all right, this is our chance to jump out of the bubble and start a podcast. And, you know, we knew that was bound to happen eventually. We just didn't think it was going to happen this year, but the pandemic changed everything.
So I'm joining this network called the No Filter Network, and it's similar to Patreon. I had to apply for it, and pretty much it's for, like, uncensored shows. And a few of the guys, like Tony Bruno, are on there, the guys that have got in trouble for saying things. And I'm doing this podcast for free, but I'm going to be doing a video show as well. So it's very similar to Patreon. And I just see that being the future, bro. What you're doing, what I'm doing, what Jason Ellis is doing, I see that as the future because it's like there's really no radio jobs unless you want to make 10 bucks an hour board hopping, which is what I do on the weekend. But, bro, I don't think the internet was ready 7 to 10 years ago, but now I think this is go time, you know?
Oh, you're so right about that, man. A very famous radio host who I shall not name because he's on my shit list once said that there are less radio jobs available than spots in the major leagues. You know, it's true. Terrestrial radio is dead. Satellite radio is hard to get on the air if you're not a celebrity, right? Rich and I were fortunate enough to get in on early. But we went to satellite early and we felt like we were pioneers in that field, and I feel like we got out just in time where we could do the same thing in the podcast world. You know, luckily years ago we were able to even have our Best of the Week podcast, which was part of our SiriusXM contract. So we already had an audience there as well, where we could put some free content out there for people who don't know us. You know, so look, I'm hoping it's a blessing in disguise, but it's absolutely where the future is at, if not there already. You know, people want to listen to what they want to listen to when they want to listen to it, very much like cutting the cord with cable. You know, SiriusXM provides a lot of content, and I'm still happy to be a part of it. But there's a lot of people out there that, you know, they just want what they want. They don't want all these other options. So they're willing to pay for what they want and not all the extras. It's very similar to that. So I'm very happy to be, again, like I said, still part of SiriusXM, but happy to be part of that podcast world where people who want us will find us. And man, I'm very grateful that they're actually willing to pay. I feel like we're ahead of the game because there's so many podcasts out there, but there's not a lot of people out there willing to pay for them. And that's where we benefit. And that's where we're really lucky, man.
And the one thing I think you guys have done right since the beginning of the show is you guys never went after Howard, because all the guys in FM radio that I grew up listening to or I know about in different markets that were kind of like the shock jock of that town, they all were trying to go after Howard, and Howard won in the end. And I think what you guys did right to be at Sirius for that long and pretty much leave Sirius on good terms, and because like Rich said, you guys don't want to like overwhelcome your time there. So I think what you guys did right is never trying to like outlast Howard. You know what I mean? Like try to make it bigger. You guys were just yourself.
Well, you're never going to want to bite the hand that feeds. And there's no question that the company did really well with the Howard Stern audience and the Howard Stern content. And I was always a fan, you know, keep in mind, I came up the ranks with a lot of those guys back at K-Rock New York. So I've known him since I was since I was a teenager, right? Since I was my late teens, which is crazy. I think I was like 19 or something when I started at K-Rock New York. And, you know, Gary Delabate was the one that recommended me for Maxim Radio at Sirius XM and just grew up loving that stuff. So, you know, I could never really badmouth them, and I never wanted to be like them anyway. You know, Rich and I were always going to be ourselves, like you said, but we were never going to be throwing baloney at women's asses either, you know? So we were very much in our own lane. And, you know, I agree with you, man. I think just doing our own thing and being ourselves is what got us here. And we're going to stick with that for sure.
What was like the first off-air conversation you had with Spot and Rich after you guys were let go? You know what I mean?
Man, it was a shock because it was a negotiation that was going on for over a year. Our contract was up last April. So over a year ago, our contract was up. And it was in everyone's best interest, Covino and Rich, Spot, SiriusXM's best interest to say, hey, maybe now's not the best time to negotiate because everybody's losing money. We're in the middle of a pandemic. Let's just keep going month to month. And we went month to month to month for a long ass time. And then the holidays came around and, you know, we started to see the writing on the wall. So we knew like, hey, you know, this isn't looking good. You know, maybe we can keep our contracts going on the music side of things. But as far as Covino and Rich, it might be in our best interest and it might be time. And again, a blessing in disguise to make that move now. So, you know, I want to make it very clear. We weren't fired and we weren't really let go either. You know, it was SiriusXM coming to us with an exclusive offer that we simply couldn't accept. You know, they wanted to change their pay structure and the show structure and sort of fit it into a podcast sort of world. And at that point, Rich and I knew, well, that doesn't really make sense because we could do that on our own now, you know, which we would have never have been able to do if we didn't have that platform on SiriusXM to begin with. So like I said, I'm still very grateful, but it was still very much a shock. So when we realized that the writing was on the wall, like, hey man, you know, we can't really survive on that offer, you know, and we could probably do this on our own. We just went to the drawing board and said, well, what is the best option? Where could we do this? This Patreon stuff seems to be working out for other people. You know, we were aware of what was going on in that world. And at the same time, we were also excited. I mean, don't get it twisted, scared, shocked, all those other things, miserable about moving on because it was the end of an era or a chapter, but excited at the same time to, again, get in on where the future is headed, which is the world of podcasts. You know, we were very fortunate to be on the SiriusXM, the satellite thing, early, like I said. I'd rather be in on the podcast world early than late.
I feel the same way because I'm very, I wouldn't say nervous about this new show I'm doing, but it's weird because it's so early on that it feels like podcast 2011. You know what I mean? It feels like it's going to be like, what's the word? Like a gold mine. And it feels like now is the time to get in on it because you don't want to be the one that comes in late and it seems like a bandwagoner.
Right. No, look, it is like a gold rush and you're in the Wild West and, you know, but it's good to be out there and it's good to be out of that bubble and it's good to be ahead of the game. And ahead of the game, I use that term loosely because people have been into podcasts and people have been streaming and doing their own podcasts for a long time now. But now I think we're all seeing, you know, an explosion, a revolution of this sort of thing. And, you know, I think it's a great opportunity for you. It's a great opportunity for everybody. And, you know, I spoke against them, but I never hated the game. I just hated the player, you know, because a lot of people compared podcasters often to what we were doing. I'm glad there's a platform for everybody. But what we do and what we did was much different than people chiming in once a week or, you know, once every few weeks to babble about nonsense. We were doing a daily show every day and we still do that and we hope to continue doing that. So again, I know I spoke poorly about the podcast world before, but it was never the platform. It was always the player, not the game.
So I work at 102.5 The Bone, which is like similar to like what you guys were doing on Faction Talk in Tampa. Like it's like FM talk radio, and I am a fill-in during the week when needed, but I produce all the weekend shows. And I grew up on radio, so like my podcast, when I do my rant show or when I do these interviews, is very much a radio format, even though it's in the podcast format. So
yeah,
I kind of can relate to you in that factor of like being annoyed. Like I get annoyed, and it's sort of my ego when I look at like the podcasts that are like popular and they have no format, and they're sort of popular because they're like celebrities or it's about murder. You know what I mean? Like you want to like,
right.
Like my girlfriend's really into like murder documentaries and murder podcasts and murder TikToks. And I'm like, cause she's like 4 years younger than me. So she's Gen Z and I'm millennial, and I don't want to be the old man on the front lawn, but there's a part of me where I kind of bite my tongue and I'm like, why do people like this? You know what I mean? It's like that ego thing.
It absolutely is. And that's where I was coming from years ago. But, you know, I realized that I could still do what I do and use that platform to my advantage, and the cream will rise to the top. And, you know, real content creators and real hosts like yourself and Covino and Rich will hopefully be the show that people turn to. And the other stuff is niche, you know, and there's a place for that. It's just different. That's all. I don't want to be thrown in the same sort of conversation as those shows, but it's just a different mentality altogether, man. Like growing up, you know, I'm a little old school. It was always, you know, I was always against the if you can't beat them, join them mentality, right? I was like, if you can't beat them, then try harder. That was sort of my mentality. Now the world sort of accepts that mentality. Like look at sports. Sports is if you can't beat them, join them. You know, people leave their teams to be on better teams, and the world's okay with that. So I look at it like, hey, man, I'm happy now to be a part of this world. You know, I don't think terrestrial radio or satellite radio or anything else is going to compete with the podcast world. So I'm happy to be a part of it now. I just want to be the best or one of the best in that world. And, you know, like I said, maybe a blessing in disguise, because perhaps we should have done that years ago, you know, but better late than never. And it forces you to be better. It just does, because now we're our own boss. You know, now we're responsible for keeping our subscribers happy. You know, we have to take accountability. And I think the toughest challenge here isn't creating the content. It's being business owners now, small business owners. And Rich and I and Spot, we're great radio people and we're great content creators, at least we try to be, but none of us are really great business people. And, you know, Rich may think he is, but I can tell you he's not. He may be better than me, but he's not a good business guy. And I think that's where the struggle might be, or the learning curve will be, you know, because now it's about customer satisfaction and keeping people happy and not saying the wrong thing, but still being true to your opinions and things like that. So, you know, now there's new hurdles, new challenges. And although it keeps you up at night, Ryan, you know, it's exciting at the same time, you know, because who doesn't like a good challenge, right? I know I'm up for it. So
I feel that too.
It's a whole new world, man.
Well, the thing is, like, so I'm 27 going on 28. And I think when I was 22 through 24, I really wanted the acceptance of everybody. And I tried so hard. And in a way, I was almost clout chasing, because I was trying to, like, it's not that I was using other radio people, but I was interviewing people that I wasn't even a fan of just so that they could retweet it. But now I just interview people that I'm a fan of. And, like, I'm not getting as many listens. And people will be like, oh, well, don't you feel bad that you work hard, but you don't have your own show on 102.5 The Bone? And it's like, no, like, I have that chip on my shoulder. You know what I mean? Like, it's fun to, like, own your own thing. It's fun to build it, because I want to have my own empire. You know what I mean? Like, what you guys are doing, like, I have this pride, Covino. Like, I want to build it on my own. Like, I want to, like, I've made it already, because we're doing it. But I want to have that moment where I look at my bank account and I look at this and that and I go, I fucking built it on my own. And that's like my new attitude, is I don't want anybody else's help. I want to have Ryan Hoppe do the best Ryan Hoppe he can be. And I want Covino and Rich and everybody to do the best version they can be, if that makes sense.
And that gets you out of bed in the morning, man. For real. Yeah, that gets you fired up, and it keeps the fire burning. You know, you're responsible for your own success here. And it's all riding on you. And that's how Rich and I, along with Spot, feel. Like, okay, well, this is on us. Let's go. Let's bring it. And it's a matter of let's continue doing what made us successful, but let's also make those adjustments that we need to make in this new world to also be successful. And, you know, just this past week, I talked about the differences. When I was on Sirius XM and, you know, my opinions didn't jive with someone else's, I would be like, yeah, dude, whatever, beat it. I don't care. Right? Because, you know, I really just didn't care as much as I do now, where I realize that people who subscribe to me are really subscribing to me. So I'm going to keep my opinions true, but I'm not going to tell this guy to necessarily beat it the way I used to, because I now rely on that guy to subscribe. So again, it's walking that fine line of staying honest and being a good business person, but you know, at the same time, not trying to rub your subscribers / supporters the wrong way. And I realize that, you know, some of our listeners are a little sensitive sometimes when they don't agree with your opinion. So it's a tightrope act, but again, exciting. And when I hear you talk about it, you know, I feel the same way. And that gets me excited, man. I love radio. It's what I've always done. It's what I do. And, you know, if I didn't have this opportunity on Patreon, who the fuck knows what I'd be doing, man? I have no clue. But, you know, I'm still on the grind. The numbers are looking good. We're getting great feedback. And, you know, I'm getting more opportunities on the music side of Sirius XM, which is also fun because, you know, a lot of times people put us in this in a sports box because of our time at ESPN and SNY, and, you know, because we're sports fans. But I'm just as much a music guy than anything else. So if opportunities keep coming on the music side, I'll keep taking them. So I'm happy to do a little bit of everything. And eventually, I'm hoping that things get big enough where Covino and Rich Show is our only focus. It is our sole focus. Don't get it twisted. But I'm saying our only focus, you know, because to be honest, I think Rich and I could take this further and do more TV. I don't think we're done by any means. I think that the pandemic got in our way, but, you know, everything happens for a reason. You know, we weren't the only ones that took the hit. It was just part of the deal. And I think we're going to land on our feet somewhere else. I just don't know when and where, but we got some good people behind us. And, you know, when that opportunity comes, we'll be ready. But by no means do I think, and we've been doing this a long ass time, and by no means do I think that we have peaked, you know. And I can only thank, A, the people that believe in us, but, you know, the people that listen and support. We wouldn't be shit without them. So I'm grateful, man. I'm grateful. I'm good. I was a little mad. I went through all the stages of grief when we had to move on from Sirius XM. So right now I'm just motivated to basically to stick it to everybody.
I feel the same way, but I think the one thing you guys did right, even if you would sort of go off on a person that called in, I went to your event like a year and a half ago at American Social in Tampa, and like I've been to other radio events, and like it was the nicest audience I've ever met, but also a very gritty audience. It was the most almost bizarre thing I've ever met. Like there were just dudes that were awesome, and like it's a culture you guys built because there's other huge radio shows, and like you go on their Facebook groups and they're just being vile and they'll post very offensive memes that, I mean, will make me chuckle, but like they go, why am I getting banned from the group? And it's like, because it's just a very vile environment. So I think you guys have done a good job over the last 17 to 16 years of building a fan base that's edgy, but not offensive and not mean.
Well, you know why? Because we never really attracted that fanatical sort of person. You know, you said a fan base. It's more like friendships, you know, and I got to be honest, I take a lot of pride in what you just said, because we've done it long enough where we've weeded out all the mutants that would rub people the wrong way. And I think we found our like-minded sort of core audience. We just hope to expand that a little more. So, yeah, it's a great testimonial for what we've built, for sure, when you come to one of our events and you realize that, man, there's a lot of cool people here. And, you know, I have a lot of fun with that. And that's why we have, you know, great events and great experiences and why I made so many friends along the way, you know. And those were conscious things that we did years ago. Those were like little radio tricks that we did. And it didn't happen by accident. For example, when we first started out early on satellite radio, people used to call up using their nickname or their handles, right? And they would call up and be like, hey, man, this is Bo Weevil. I'm like, all right, Bo Weevil, what's your real name? Oh, hey, my name is John. All right, like, all right, cool, man. You're John from Texas, right? You know, like, yeah. We didn't need Bo Weevil or Big Hoss and their Bubba or, you know, everyone had a stupid nickname that they went by, and we didn't necessarily need that. Like, hey, who are you? You're John from Texas? Cool, man. You're a cool dude. Let's get to your phone call. And I think that sort of, like, little things like that weeded out the riffraff, let's say, and, you know, you see that at our events. So it's also a double-edged sword, though, because with that, you want as many eyes and ears listening as possible. But, you know, I think we're choosing quality over quantity when you do that. But, hey, man, it's worked so far, you know?
It just gets tiring because the 102.5 The Bone audience is Florida people. So it's great, but the people that are mean, that are mean towards me, it's just tiring because it's just like you're not getting mad at them because you feel bad for them, but it's just annoying to get that tweet where it's like, you suck, burn in hell, and then it's like some dude with like a it's some dude with like a dyed like black beard, and it's like that he loves craft beer and he's manly, and it's just a very political account. Hey, it's tiring.
You know what though, man? But it's tiring, but it's also the world that we live in, and it comes with the territory.
Yeah.
When you're going to put your opinions out there, you have to know that you're going to get this sort of feedback. And hey, man, it happens all the time, and it's human nature on our end. We have to take accountability, you, myself, and people that do this, to not focus on that, because, you know, when you really think about it, you're probably getting 90% of great feedback. It's yes. Just that 10% that stands out and you're dwelling on it. So, you know, I've learned to not dwell on it. Don't get me wrong, I'm human. Every once in a while, I'll read some shit that hits me in the nuts and I'm like, oh man, you know, but again, that's my fault for focusing on that and not the other 90% of the praise that I'm getting. Now, if you're getting more negative than positive, then maybe you suck and maybe they're right. But I think there also is something about that person looking for your attention, right? There's no doubt about that. And then sometimes you have to speak their language. I've always said, even still on this day on Turbo and on our Covino Rich Show, if you hate me, I'll hate you back. Sometimes I'll go back at you. Not like Kevin Durant, where I'm losing my cool and I'm saying inappropriate things that I shouldn't say as a quote-unquote public figure or professional, I should say. But, hey, I'll come back at you. And sometimes that's all it takes. And that's all that person wanted. You know, a lot of times that guy's not a bad guy. He's just trying to get under your skin to get you to react. You react, and then, hey, maybe you won him over. A lot of times that works for me, man. Like, all right. Because I come from a place of ball busters, you know, a place where – that was sort of loving. Like, that rib was like, hey, man, I kind of dig you, but I'm going to come at you and see what you got. I'm not saying that, you know, I'm a tough guy by any means. I'm not. I'm just saying I'm fluent in that language. So someone talks shit, I'll hit him back with something nice, and they're like, ah, bro, that's awesome. I was just messing with you.
Yeah.
A lot of times you pull the reversal on him and it works, but, you know, I try not to take any of it really to heart, man. Even the praise, like, to be honest, you know, like, hey, do I feel good about it? If I feel good about it, then I'm good. You know, that's how I gauge things.
What did you think of that Kevin Durant situation? My opinion is this. Everything he said was dumb. It's dumb that he reacted to an actor. But I also thought it was repulsive that Michael Rapaport was trying to act like a victim. And then Michael Rapaport tweeted out private DMs because he acts like he's a victim all the time, but he's said the most repulsive things about people over the years. So I thought Kevin Durant was a dummy for how he responded. But then it was annoying how the media was acting like Rapaport's a victim. Like, if Kevin Durant went that way towards like a 19-year-old innocent TikToker, that's different. But I was like, how are we supposed to feel bad for Rapaport? Like, everybody's guilty in that situation.
Well, you know what I mean? you know, I was talking about being fluent in asshole, right?
Yeah.
Everybody knows Michael Rapaport is fluent in being an asshole. He's great at it. He's great at trolling and being a ball buster is what he does. And I like Rapaport personally. He's always been cool to us, right? But we all know that side about him. So Kevin Durant, knowing that, is basically saying, well, fuck you. Guess what? I'm fluent in this too. Let's go. The problem is Rapaport made that shit public, right? So I feel like Kevin Durant, he has to take accountability because he did it. But I think we all understand that Rapaport sort of broke that bro code of sorts and took something private and made it public, which therefore made Durant look bad. You know, because Durant represents an organization. He has sponsorships. Kids are fans of his. And he said some pretty vulgar things that he probably shouldn't have said. Even though I get it, you get it, we all get it. You can't trust a guy like Michael Rapaport. You know, we live in the world of screenshots. So, you know, I wouldn't do it. If I was Kevin Durant, I wouldn't have done it. But I know he probably thought he was in a safe space speaking the language that Michael Rapaport speaks. And I thought it was a bitch move. And again, I say this kindly because I like Rapaport, but it was a bitch move for him to act like he doesn't play those games. He never says stuff like that. Like, he always says stuff like that. That's who he is. So he got a dose of his own medicine and then went public with it. And the whole thing went, you know, out of control. And I think it was a bad look for all of them, to be honest.
I don't know if you're a Nets or a Knicks fan, but that game when Kevin Durant came back, he dropped like 35 points and was like magical. And it was like he's irritating on social media. He can be obnoxious in person. Like, I haven't met him, but just seeing interviews. But man, like watching him in that game, I forget who it was against. It was last week. I was like, man, he is one of the best of all time. There's no doubt about it.
Oh, of course. He's nasty, man. And, you know, when it comes to basketball, no one will ever deny that he's one of the greats. But when you see things like that that happen to him, you realize how special a guy like LeBron James is. Now, yes. I'm not going to sit here and swing from LeBron, but I don't think LeBron would misstep like that and give Rapaport the time of day and satisfaction to stoop to those levels where it could be used against him. And that's where KD slips up sometimes. He's a little too sensitive for today's world, you know, but it is what it is. And, you know, unfortunately, he, like I said, he represents an organization and he can't be doing those things. But I mean, he's a great, and it happened. And, you know, I think we should all learn from it. It's a reminder to all of us. Some of that shit we think is private really isn't private. And that's the world we live in. We got to think smarter than that.
So I've had three girlfriends in my life. I'm currently in a great relationship. We've been going on for 6 months. I live with her. She's wonderful. She's my biggest supporter. And it makes me realize that my last two girlfriends really hurt my radio career at that moment because they were toxic. In the moment, it seemed great. But at the same time, it was like they were kind of bringing me down by saying, oh, you don't make a lot of money, and just kind of critiquing radio. So now that I'm in a great relationship, I'm doing better than ever, and I feel happy. I know you're in a relationship. What is some advice your girl gave you or ways that she was by your side after you guys were let go from Sirius and then going on to the Patreon world?
Well, I mean, relationships are tough, right? And when they're going bad, we all say things that we probably shouldn't say. And women will always go where it hurts, and that's,
yes,
you know, to question how much money you're making or how successful you are. You know, all those things that make you feel good. But again, those things go both ways. You know, for anyone that saw our last show on SiriusXM, we were streaming it because it was our last one. And I think you saw immediately when I signed off for the last time and said, you know, see you in the promised land, how it hit me and how Jordan was there to console me, you know, and help me through it. She knew it was tough. You know, I think that some time has passed, so she thinks maybe that I am over it. But, yeah, I'm a moody bitch sometimes. And a lot of it is because I have a chip on my shoulder and because I want to win and because I want to continue doing this for another 16 to 20 years. But, you know, I think she is very much on my team and supportive when it comes to the new venture. You know, she doesn't want to see us make any business mistakes. So if she doesn't like something, she's very vocal about it. You know, she's also in my ear telling me I got to play smarter, and I can't do those Kevin Durant type of things. You know, I can't come at people the way I used to because they're not just listeners anymore. They're subscribers, things like that. So she's quick to help me out and be supportive, and is also an ear. Just, you know, I bounce things off her all the time. You know, hey, what do you think of this? Hey, what do you think of that? Hey, should we – what are your thoughts on us doing a show on Twitch every once in a while? You know, she knows a lot about that world and a lot about marketing. And, you know, she's not just all looks. She's pretty smart. So when it comes to this new world of podcasting and how we're going to get to the next level of sponsorships and everything, she's always someone I could turn to for advice. And as I don't want to say fan, but she listens every day, you know, so she really enjoys what we do. And she's known me as a radio guy from the start. So it's good to have her support 100%.
What's been the biggest difference in your show?
Oh, but hold on. Ryan. Yeah. Hold your question.
What's up, bro?
The advice I could give to you is based on the mistakes that I made and make. And that's, you got to leave it at the office or at the studio.
I got to work on that.
A lot of times I'll bring, like I could get in a heated debate with Rich, or I could get some negative feedback from a listener, or, you know, something could happen. And a lot of times I will bring it home.
Oh, yeah.
That doesn't help the relationship. You know what I mean? It doesn't help. You know, my advice to you is to, share your day, but focus on the positives and leave the negative shit home, because it's really not going to help the relationship you're currently in. Oh. So that would be my advice, man.
I'm working on that so hard, bro, because, like, it'll get heated on the weekend on some of these shows, or I'll just be tired because I get up at 4 in the morning, and, man, like, there's times my girl will be like, just knock it off. Like, and, like, you don't realize you're being a dick until she says it, and then you kind of look, and you're like, damn, I'm being a dick. You know that moment where you're like, sorry, right. I don't mean to do that.
Yeah, 100%. And you know what else? One more piece of advice that I have to also remind myself and give to myself is, when you do radio, and I imagine most things, not just about radio here, today's world, especially with everyone working from home and just the way things are, you know, you're always sort of on the clock, right? Whether it be emails from work or people texting you about things.
Yeah.
You know, in our world of content, you have to be in the know, right? You have to know who won the game, what's the latest news, what's trending, what's going on. Is there a story, a hot story I have to know about for tomorrow? I think that, you know, sometimes you have to know when to put the phone down, and I don't know when.
I don't know either, bro. How do you do it? What do we do?
I don't have any answers to this.
I know.
Other than, like, maybe you set, like, you know, certain hours of the day. Like, I talked to Dr. Phil, random name drop, but I've talked to Dr. Phil before, and he told us something on the show that I never forgot. I haven't been able to implement it. And he said, everybody knows, anyone that works with him knows, everybody knows that when 5 o'clock hits, I don't answer my phone and I'm off the clock. Meaning he's unreachable. He's spending time with his, you know, family, and don't bother him. He's not dealing with you until the next day. If anyone, especially guys doing what we do, can take a little nugget of that, maybe adjust it, like, hey, after 8 p.m., I don't know, after all the games are over. Otherwise, you know, you got to make that quality time for your lady, because it's tough between giving her attention, your phone attention, the constant feedback that you're getting from listeners and updates from social media and things like that. My advice is to find that balance and figure it out. And I'm working on that myself.
It's so hard, bro. I remember, like, maybe 4 years ago, I would be like, man, I am a sober person. Like, I would drink, you know what I mean? But I'd be like, man, I don't have a drinking problem, don't have a drug problem. And, like, I had that, like, chip on my shoulder where I acted like I was perfect. And it wasn't until recently that I went, man, my cigarettes, my cocaine, my drinking is my cell phone. I didn't realize that till probably the pandemic. I'm like, man, I am addicted to my cell phone.
Me too. But you know what, man? Tough, because you're also, it's not necessarily that, and this is what I try to explain to my girlfriend sometimes. I'm addicted to winning, right? And I'm more motivated than ever before. So when I'm disconnected, I feel like I'm not Yes, I'm not
exactly
doing what I'm supposed to be doing, right? Like, I'm not in the know. I don't know what's going on for the show tomorrow. I'm not coming up with thoughts. I'm not coming up with content. You know, I'm in my mind, I'm staying relevant on what's trending, what's happening. And that all has to do with me being more motivated than ever. So, you know, there's an excuse. You know, it's not necessarily justified, but I do have my reasons.
Okay, so I asked this to all the people I interview. I asked Rich this. So I will ask you when it's sure. when it's all said and done. Whenever you decide to retire, how do you want people to remember you in radio and media and whatever you do in the future?
You know, what's funny, man, is I know I'm getting older, but you know I don't see it. I mean, I see it a little bit, but I don't feel it. I don't act it. And the word retirement isn't even in my vocabulary yet. Like, I don't even think about it. Like I said, I don't even think we peak. And that's not even my ego talking. I really, truly believe that. I don't feel that Covino and Rich have been giving the opportunities that we need yet to really shine. You know, we've been given some great ones. Don't get it twisted. But I still think that there's something bigger and better out there for us. And it'll come when it's ready. So retirement, you know, that kind of shit, I don't even think about it, man. I still think, like, we're in the grand scheme of things, the some of the youngest in the game, you know, and I think trying to look your best is a big part of it, because, you know, people are going to look at you and judge you and think, yeah, I mean, these guys are past their prime. I don't ever want people to think that when it comes to giving us an opportunity. So I don't even think about that. But when all said and done, I just want people to remember, like, you know, let's say my kid, you know, my daughter. I want her to think of her dad as a guy who worked really hard. You know, he cared about his family, but he worked hard to provide. Nothing ever came easy for him, but he kept trying and he proved everybody wrong. And in a lot of ways, as corny as it sounds, like a phoenix, you know, we've got burnt, but we rose again and again, you know, again and again. Covino and Rich just keep on going. You know, maybe we never got the opportunities we needed, but we still put out quality content and we made a good living doing it. You know, that's all. I just want people to know that, you know, I, Covino and Rich, we brought our best always with good intentions and, you know, that we were good people, but that we always brought our best and we were easy to work with.
Where can people find the show to listen and then on social media?
Oh, man. Our show is on Patreon now. Right? Patreon.com/Covino and Rich. And there's two tiers. You can subscribe to listen for $5. And then behind the velvet rope and video features, you could actually see the daily show Monday through Thursday for $10. And of course, our best of the week is available for free at whatever you stream on. Right? So whatever you stream on, look up Covino and Rich and you can get it there. I guarantee it's one of the best live podcasts of all podcasts. It's as real as it gets. It's a coming of age sort of show. Rich and I, along with Spot, have grown up together. So from single dudes to living the dad life to everything else that's going on in today's world, we discuss it and break it down every day. So please, at the very least, subscribe to our Best of the Week podcast. And every weeknight, I'm on Turbo 41, and I'll be doing weekends on Boneyard on Sirius XM. So, you know, I love rock music. I love all music. But right now I'm on Turbo, weeknights from 6 to midnight Eastern, and Boneyard, Ozzy's Boneyard, Ozzy Osbourne, his Boneyard coming soon. And, of course, all social media platforms, at Covino and Rich and at Steve Covino. Hey, man, I love radio. I love chatting with you. Yeah, you know what? To wrap it up, man, I want people to – remember me as a guy who loved what he did, and I did my best doing it.
Well, bro, I've been a fan for 9 years, and I knew you guys worked hard, but this was an interview that was very unique for me because, like, I feel like I can relate to you with the social media addiction and having a chip on my shoulder and just rising like a phoenix. So it's been a lot of fun having you on the show, and keep up the good work, bro.
Hey, anytime, man. I appreciate the support and continued success.
Awesome. Thank you, bro.
Thank you.
All right, bye. And now was Covino from the Covino and Rich show. Oh, geez. And now was Covino from the Covino and Rich show as he called into Happy Hour. Now, I have two versions of my show. I have the talk show version where I play news clips and I rant. And then I have another version where I talk to talk show hosts and people that do podcasts and comedians. So to find the show, I'm on every single platform. Audible, TuneIn, Spreaker, Amazon Music, Spotify, Apple Podcasts, Mixcloud, and search up Hoppe Radio, H-O-P-P-E Radio. Tweet at me and add me on IG at Ryan Hoppe Radio. Add me on Snapchat, Hoppe Radio, and go to my website, ryanhopperadio.com.